Happy Sabbath, everyone. Welcome on this beautiful Sabbath day. Always nice to come before God on His Sabbath day. What a blessing. Special thanks to all the moms out there. I don't know where we'd be without you. It's hard to figure that out. Also bring greetings from Eugene. Eugene this morning sent their greetings to everyone, wanted me to say hi. We don't get it together often enough, it seems. On November 9th of last year, Eric Tucker, a 35-year-old co-founder of a marketing company in Austin, Texas, spotted a large group of buses near downtown Austin. He took some pictures of the buses, thinking that it was a little odd. Later that day, Donald Trump was holding a rally in Austin, and there were reports of protests against Mr. Trump. Mr. Tucker had decided the two events were related. He had about 40 Twitter followers, so he posted the pictures of the buses and a note below it that said, "Paid protesters being bused to demonstration against Donald Trump." Along with those pictures of the buses, it fueled a nationwide conspiracy theory. All of a sudden, he had 16,000 tweets following him, more than 350,000 hits on Facebook following him. And in the hours after that, it even spread further. Large sites picked it up, relayed the information, and soon it was picked up by nationwide news sources also. The problem is that none of this was true. I thought hard about starting a sermon with something that wasn't true, but it's something that's very significant in society today. We see it all the time. And it demonstrates a point I want to make in this message. See, this story is called fake news. The buses were actually hired by a software company that was having a conference that drew 13,000 people. And so there wasn't a true story. But today we hear the term fake news almost daily. A year ago, we didn't hear that term at all. I don't remember hearing it at all anyway. But that term came about during the Donald Trump era. So where does fake news come from? Why is it so prevalent today? In this message, we're going to take a look at fake news. Fake news has been very influential in the last election cycle. It's influential throughout society today. But we need to be on the watch for it. We need to be able to spot it. We need to not be involved with spreading fake news. Some fake news is actually produced on purpose. There's a profit to be made from fake news. Actually, from fake news, there's a lot of profit made. But there's some websites that market themselves as satire and as fictional. And every now and then, even though they admit this up front, those stories are picked up and spread. And everybody, not sometimes, every now and then, those stories are believed to be true. There are others who make up stories to get people to their websites. If they have more people on their websites and more hits on their advertisement pages, they get paid for those things. So nothing attracts attention like a story that goes to prove your particular political viewpoint or something or anything that just grabs people's attention. False information is also spread by those who are not so purposefully intended, but they are misinformed. And they send things out, and people grab a hold of them, and in our connected society, things go viral very quick. The story I started with was proven to be false a day after Mr. Tucker's post. But that did little to slow the spread of the rumor. That continued to grow. And people actually believed it happened. It's quick and easy to put something out for mass consumption in our society. But it's really difficult to retract to something. It's hard to correct the damage. It's hard to repair things that have been put out. But fake news can cause a lot of damage. It causes a lot of division, a lot of strife, a lot of problems. And it continues to be a problem in society. In Proverbs 18, verse 17, Amplified Version reminds us, the first one to plead his case seems right until another comes and cross-examines him. There's very little cross-examination with the fake news. It's just thrown out. That's something that we have to leave to ourselves, to take a look and find what's really true. We need to take time to check the news stories we get, same way we check the things that we're given about God's Word. We can't believe things when we first hear them. We never repeat them until we verify that they are true. Fake news can often grab more attention than real news. So it's sometimes used by mainstream media to boost ratings and to make themselves seem more credible. Sometimes they get caught. Just a few years ago, Brian Williams, NBC nightly news anchor, claimed that he was riding in a helicopter in Iraq when it was shot down. He was trying to project a particular image to his audience, but he was not telling the truth. Since then, he's paid a dear price for not telling the truth. So fake news didn't just start with Donald Trump. It's been around for a while. Fake news has been blamed for influencing our elections. Even in this last election cycle in France, it was claimed to be a problem there. Many government decisions are influenced by fake news. Many sides want to sway a decision one way or another. Propaganda is used to sway public opinion and the attention of other governments to support particular ideas and thoughts and agendas. Lies are told to persuade individuals in elections, in justice, and in business all the time. The time we're living in, these times of fake news, were actually predicted to happen a long time ago. Someone understood that fake news was going to be a thing in 2017. Well, maybe not just in 2017, but in the future anyway. And even beyond these years. It was prophesied in Matthew 24. So if you want to turn with me to Matthew 24, these warnings that we're going to look at here were actually repeated many times throughout the Bible. Matthew 24, we'll look at the prophecies and the warning from Jesus Christ himself. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 24, we're going to start in verse 3. Now he sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" These are the signs of the end of the age. And verse 4 says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you.'" So what did he start with? He started with a warning about being deceived. We're told by Christ that the end times will be filled with lying, with people trying to deceive others, with fake news. That's what we're getting. Fake news are really the lies, those deceptions that are coming at us. We'll start over here, and we'll start back in the middle of verse 4. "And take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Very specifically, Christ talks here about religious deception. There are many today who use the name of Jesus Christ. They preach about what Jesus Christ, about how he lived, but do they actually put it to use? Does modern Christianity even talk about the kingdom of God? Other religions, whether you take Christianity, Judaism, or Islam, these religions are all deceived at some point. They do have some truth. But how many teach and practice the Ten Commandments? The warnings of deception are found out throughout this section of Matthew 24. In verse 11, it says, "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." In verse 23, it continues on, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it, for many Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect. See, I have told you beforehand." So we have the warning that deceptions are going to come. It can even deceive those who are paying attention. But we have to stay close to God. We need His help. So where did this fake news start? Who started it? How did we decide that using lies was really useful and it was a good idea to deceive others? I'm going to turn back to the front of the Bible, the first story I can find of fake news. Back to Genesis. Just after the creation. How long after the creation? I'm not quite sure. It doesn't say. But with the storyline here, I don't think it was very long. Genesis 3. We know the backdrop of the story. God had made Adam and Eve, placed them in a beautiful garden. All around them were God's handiworks, His creation. They could see what God was like by His creation. They could learn a lot about His mind, about His personality, His beauty, how He cared for what He had created. They had a little bit of experience with Him. There was sounded like there was just one key rule in the garden. Don't eat of one tree. Genesis 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" Fake news. He started off with a little bit of truth. You aren't going to die today. But there's more to the story. You will die. But Satan kept going. Verse 5. "For God knows the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Satan is that author and originator of fake news. And he's just getting started. He's just warming up. What did Satan do here in Genesis? What did he do to Adam and Eve? God had made a promise to Adam and Eve. But Satan suggested that God had lied to them. He made them start to doubt God, to doubt God's love for them, by saying, "You will not surely die." But leaving out the rest of the statement, which was that word today, he put just a little bit of doubt in their minds. Look where it led. After making them doubt God's love for them, Satan started to lie that obedience to God and His laws is bondage. It doesn't give them freedom. That God's law was holding them back from the things that are fun, so we're experiencing great things in life. There was so much to know and do if they just follow their own human thoughts and desires. Again, not telling them that Satan would be the big influence in their lives then, and not God anymore. And after that, he really gets to the point. They would be equal to God. He appeals to their vanity. They can do what they want. Decide for themselves what's right and wrong. They would be in charge. They would be in control. Just like God is in control. Now, through this, do you see somebody else's mind, somebody else's line of thinking in this? Satan's mind. It's his line of thinking. And he's carrying it on and giving it to Adam and Eve. And throughout society and throughout human history, he's been influencing. Satan uses fake news to influence mankind throughout history. He used it on Adam and Eve to separate them from God, to drive a wedge between them. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, their thinking was changed. It happened immediately. They saw things differently. Satan started the idea that God couldn't be trusted. Do we trust God? Is there a little bit of doubt? We have to ask ourselves, because we need to trust in God completely. We can't let Satan and his fake news get in the way of having a healthy, strong relationship with our Creator. Fake news can be very deceptive. It can be very difficult to sort out and to figure out what is true and what is a lie. Satan's deceptions and his lies are very subtle. He gets you to sin. He gets you to change your thinking. To battle both fake news and Satan's deception, we need to have that close relationship with God. We need his guidance. We need him, his influence in our lives. We need to recognize where lies come from. Let's go next to John chapter 8. It's important that we understand and hear God's words, his truth, that we put those things into our lives, not lies. We need truth. We need to be people of truth. John 8, we're going to start in verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not understand the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." We live in a world filled with fake news. Over time, there's been so much fake news, it's hard to separate what's true and what's false. It's hard to even come to a decision of what truth is. Because the truth of God does not make sense unless God opens our minds to understand it. John 8 is dealing with liberty from bondage. Satan holds this world in bondage with the lies that he tells. This world and the ways of this world seem good and fine to the carnal mind. But this entire society and the culture around us is based upon the deceptions and lies that have been established because of Satan's spirit, because of his attitude, because of his rebellious nature. This is really how God knows if we're his. This is how we know if God is working with us. Do we hear what God's telling us? Are we living his way of life? Are we putting these things to work? Satan knows that his fake news can be very effective in leading people to doubt God, to lose hope, to lose love, to break down that relationship with God, to turn from his ways. So he continues to use it, and he's going to use it even more in the future. It's been effective throughout history. That's why God gives us the warning to avoid deception. The only way to do this is through God, through his protection, through his blessing. I'm going to turn back to Matthew once again. We read of how Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan. Now let's look at an example of someone who wasn't knocked off course in their confrontation with Satan and by Satan's tactics. Matthew 4, Jesus was tempted by Satan. And as we go through this, pay attention to the subtle tactics that Satan uses here. He uses those same tactics today. He uses them to try to deceive us and mislead us. Matthew 4, starting in verse 1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Okay. 40 days, 40 nights, he was hungry. It's kind of hard to really grasp how he really felt. After 40 days and 40 nights, he probably didn't have much physical strength. He was relying on the Father, his Father, for strength. In verse 3, it says, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. So he said, if. Jesus Christ knew who he was. He was the Son of God. Satan was trying to tempt him physically. If you're the Son of God, you deserve to have some food right now because you're hungry. At instant gratification. But Jesus didn't fall for it. He was hungry. He was well aware, though, of how Satan works. We need to be aware of how Satan works. That instant gratification. You deserve it. You can have it right now. Jesus Christ shows us how we need to react when Satan tries to tempt us and deceive us. Stick with God's word. Stick with God's ways. Trust entirely in God for all that we need. Satan broke down the trust between Adam and Eve and God. He's trying to break down the trust here in Matthew 4 between Jesus Christ and God. He tries to do that with us. Slip in a little doubt. Tries to break down that trust. But Jesus Christ fully trusted God. If he had to wait a little longer, if he had to be a little patient, he could do that. We need to learn to be patient, to wait on God, to not get in a hurry, not to try to take things into our own hands and get ahead of the game. Verse 4, he continues on. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Jesus Christ answered him there. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him in the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. See, even Satan knows God's word. He can quote scripture. But he takes it and misapplies it, twists it just a little bit. This happens a lot in society today. They take the scriptures, they take God's word, they twist it just a little bit. And sure, it looks like someone's been using God's word in a right way. But Satan is very, very subtle in using that tactic. He uses it for a long time to mislead people. Fake news is often hard to sort out because it contains just a little bit of truth in it. Just mix in the truth or a source like the Bible with some good old human logic and you come up with a dangerously deceptive combination. Hold your places here in Matthew 4. We'll be back here in just a minute or two. We're going to turn over to 2 Corinthians. In chapter 11. Second Corinthians 11. In verse 13 it says, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of God. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Satan tries to look a little bit like God. His ministers try that same tactic. Take a little of the truth, just enough to make it sound usable and solid, and then make it a lie. Satan is all about deception. He comes across looking good, looking fair, appealing to our human nature. He has centuries of practice, perfecting his craft, making fake news an incredible art form. We'll go back to Matthew 4 now, and we'll continue there in verse 7. Jesus said to him, "It is written again, 'You shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" He answers back again, quoting Scripture. "Again, the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." Satan makes one last attempt to take Jesus out of the game. He's going to try the same tactics on us that he tried on Jesus Christ. He tries to get us to seek self-satisfaction. You can have it now. But just as Jesus Christ, we need to fully know and understand that we can't put anything ahead of God. We can't put anything ahead of his truth. Not comfort, not satisfaction, not wealth or power. Just as he did with Adam and Eve, he tries to make us think that we can be equal with God. That is Satan's desire. He wants to be equal or greater than God. Verse 10 is vitally important to remember. "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." When you think about fake news, remember these verses in Matthew 4. How much power does Satan have over the nations of this earth? You think about it, it's kind of frightening. How much influence does he have over those who are in power? How much control does he have over the laws, the attitudes, the corruption that takes place every day? His power is over every nation of the earth. He influences the attitudes, the thoughts. The fake news and lies that he produced change the decisions and the directions of nations and individuals. It changes the thinking, changes everything that goes on in society. So just how extensive is his power? How pervasive is his influence? John 14:30 says that, and Jesus Christ says it here, that Satan is the ruler of this world. Revelation 12, verse 9, talks about how much impact fake news has on this world and where it comes from. Revelation 12 and verse 9 says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world." He deceives the whole world. "He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him." These verses make us realize how much authority and how great Satan is, how much influence he has in the dealings of this world, and how quickly he can influence this world into rebellion. In 2 Thessalonians 2, it discusses what Satan and his fake news will accomplish. In 2 Thessalonians 2, starts with a warning, again in verse 3, where it says, "Let no one deceive you." Again, that same warning. Things at the end time will happen quickly. We need to be prepared now. We need to be a people of truth. We need to be in God's presence. We must keep our lamps and our vessels filled with oil. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8 says, "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they will be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This world has been believing a lie since very early on. Satan has influenced the vast majority of humanity to live in a world with fake news. What a blessing to realize that we've been bought and paid for, that we've been redeemed from slavery to those lies. But we have to constantly be aware of the misinformation that's going on around us. We need to work to never repeat fake news. Colossians 3 verse 9 tells us not to lie to one another. And then in Ephesians 4, we're given the instructions on how to treat everyone we come into contact with, how we're to live. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25 says, therefore, put away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give a place to the devil. Let him who steals steal no longer, but let him labor with workings with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who needs. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. None of those lies, none of that slander. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We're called to become like our great God. He's a God of truth. We should be people of truth. We need to be constantly aware that some of our news, some of our information is not the truth. We can't let fake news, deceptive stories influence us and lead us to the wrong conclusions, to the wrong attitudes, to lead us away from God. In the next chapter in Ephesians 5 and 6, verse 6, it tells us, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Much of what's said today, much of what they call news, are really empty words. If not, it's not a lie, it's partial truth. It's something that sometimes some things that shouldn't even be talked about. Often they cause division, they cause strife, they lead to wars. Fake news is nothing new. It's been around for a long time. It's not going to go away soon either. We need to recognize its influence in our world today and not let it influence our thoughts and our attitudes. Truth needs to be what we seek and what we desire. It's truth that makes us free. Fake news won't go away till Satan is taken away. The truth is that fake news will grow to be worse and worse in the years ahead of us. We're told these things in 2 Thessalonians 5. In 2 Thessalonians 5, we're told to test all things. Remember that Satan deceives the whole world. We've been looking for truth. God provides that truth. In Philippians, in chapter 4, we'll conclude with a few verses here on the things that we need to be thinking on, the words that we need to be speaking. In Philippians 4, and verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, think about, speak those things.